Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. TIFF is finished, but the movies keep coming. So this week I'm looking at three new American movies, two about music and one about sports. We have two men recording folk songs in the forest, an ambitious quarterback at a training camp in the desert, and a former teen idol wowing audiences on a Vegas stage. The History of Sound, directed by Oliver Hermanis. It's the early 20th century in rural Kentucky. Lionel, played by Paul Mescal, likes listening to his father sing while he plays the fiddle. Music for him is different than most folks. He has synesthesia. This means each musical note has a distinct color, flavor, and meaning. Eventually, his love of music and beautiful voice wins him a full scholarship at the New England Conservatory of Music. At a Boston pub one night, he recognizes a song his father used to sing coming from a young man at a piano. David, played by Josh O'Connor, knows every word. As an ethnomusicologist, he wants to collect as many distinct folk songs and ballads as he can before they're lost forever. And David has perfect pitch and a photographic memory. The two trade songs they know and somehow end up in bed together that night. That chance encounter turns into regular trysts at David's apartment. Later, he invites Lionel to join him in a fieldwork project. They roam across the state of Maine recording songs everywhere, from logging camps to schoolhouses, and they record it all on wax cylinders. This is before flat record discs were invented, carefully stored in a leather satchel. And each night they sleep together in a tiny tent. Is this true love? And what will happen to the relationship after the project is finished? The History of Sound is a touching, bittersweet gay romance before the word gay existed in that sense, set within the larger context of war and music. It's directed by South African filmmaker Oliver Hermanis, who directed Moffy, and it's based on a short story by Ben Shattuck. I wonder if the characters are modeled on Alan Lomax, the ethnomusicologist who recorded thousands of songs and is said to have started the folk music revival in the 1950s. So Paul Mescal is spot on as the sensitive kid in a clapboard shack who grows up to be a cosmopolitan musician, as is Josh O'Connor's portrayal of an enigmatic musical genius with hidden secrets. Images are as lovely as the music in this tender and moving film. I really liked it.
Ask me again.
Him, co-written and directed by Justin Tipping. It's San Antonio, Texas, and their NFL team, the Saviors, is looking for a new quarterback to replace their MVP, Isaiah White, played by Marlon Wayans, due to retire in a year. Cameron Cade, played by Tyrek Withers, is a young quarterback who lives for football. His father trained him for this since he was a little kid. So when he's offered the position, if he agrees to an intense one-on-one boot camp with his idol, Isaiah White, of course, he says yes. This is the fulfillment of all his dreams. Thing is, he recently had a serious injury that left him with a bad concussion and a track of staples in his head. If he aggravates his brain, it might end his football career before it starts. But as his father always told him, no pain, no gain. Cameron heads out to the training camp in the desert. There he encounters absolute luxury for the first time, gourmet food and priceless art in a spacious, brutalist palace. There are saunas and ice baths and daily blood transfusions for Isaiah. Cameron, too, tastes the luxury and sexual temptations offered by Isaiah's entourage, especially the grotesquely made-up wife, Elsie White, played by Julia Fox, an influencer who sells her own line of sex toys. Isaiah is the GOAT, the greatest of all time, GOAT. And his virulent fans wear goat horns on their head. Cameron, on the other hand, holds on to his silver cross. So he's given a series of Squid Game-like ordeals he must endure before Isaiah gives him the nod. And as the tasks grow increasingly horrific, his morals are severely challenged. Can he pass the tests, and is he ready to give up his innate morality and embrace pro sports and all it offers? Him is a psychological thriller about a young man confronting his hero, who is also his nemesis, even as he uncovers the dark underbelly of pro football. It's produced by Jordan Peele, so you might expect a suspense thriller with mind-blowing surprises. But if you do, you'll be sorely disappointed. What you'll get instead is more like a highly stylized extended music video than a horror film. There's lots of dazzle and flash and an equal amount of blood, but it's never scary or surprising. And director Tipping uses film techniques like a kid in a toy store. Why are people suddenly shown in infrared x-rays? Why is there a long fashion shoot sequence in what's supposed to be a horror movie? Why do cowboy-hatted cheerleaders continue dancing in the face of horrific deaths? It doesn't make sense. There's some great visual cues, like the aluminum stitches in his skull evoking the side of a football, but it's all show, no substance in this cheap morality play. Him is fun to look at, but there's nothing there. Epic, Elvis Presley in Concert, directed by Baz Luhrmann. It's the 1950s. Elvis is the king of rock and roll with a series of hits, and the nation goes wild over his thrusting pelvis and soulful voice. Later, he's drafted into the army, where he serves 2 years, and then turns to Hollywood, where he churns out a series of hits alongside sex goddesses like Anne Margaret. And late in the 60s, he signs a multi-year contract to perform before sold-out audiences at a Las Vegas casino and nightclub. He's up there every day dressed in eggshell blue jumpsuits covered in silver stud sequins and spangles, joking with the crowds and sweating buckets. He's accompanied by a retinue of backup singers, musicians, and elaborate lighting. And that is basically how Elvis spends the rest of his life until he collapses and dies in Graceland, age 42. Epic, Elvis Presley in Concert, is a combination documentary and musical performance. Now, just 2 years ago, you may remember, we had both Baz Luhrmann's biopic Elvis and Sofia Coppola's Priscilla, two similar stories told from different points of view, neither of which were particularly good. And now, out of nowhere, comes this third one. I'm not an Elvis fan, nor do I like the kitschy and gaudy films of Baz Luhrmann, which is why I am shocked at how much I enjoyed this movie. I saw it on an IMAX screen at TIFF last week, almost by accident. Ostensibly just a musical record, it's actually a succinct and tight history of the man. So much better than those bloated biopics. It's fantastic. A masterpiece of creative editing, color restoration, and music mixing. It's absolutely stunning. The songs he sings are mainly hits from the 60s, not his more famous ones, like cover versions of Bridge Over Troubled Water, You've Lost a Loving Feeling, and even gospel songs. And over the course of a single song, we get to see him on stage in rehearsal or in the recording studios over many, many years, but without a break in the music. And despite Luhrmann's gaudy excess, somehow his capture of Elvis in psychedelic shirts or sparkling gold belt buckles just looks right. Epic is a perfect concert film. Him and The History of Music both opened this week in Toronto. Check your local listings. And Epic, Elvis Presley in Concert, played at TIFF and will be released soon. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.